Okay, we're going to have a review. What happened on Good Friday? Okay. That was the day Jesus was crucified. And right after that came Easter. What happened on Easter? Okay. Jesus rose from the dead. And he spent a lot of weeks talking with people and teaching them and helping them to understand what he was here for and all about it. And last Sunday we talked about what? He ascended into heaven, right? He went to be with the Heavenly Father. And this week is, and this is the week that sent him back as a spirit. The neat thing about that is he's not locked up in a body. He can be anywhere and everywhere at once. He can be in each one of us, even. And people all over the world.
He can be in a body.
And he's in the astronauts up going around the Earth right now in the space station. He can be everywhere. Isn't that amazing? This is the day we say is the birthday of the church. And so I brought a cake and a candle here. I think we should light it, don't you? There. But this is the day, this is the birthday of the church, so I think we should sing happy birthday to Alpha, dear Alpha Church. Can we have a note? A birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alpha Church. Happy birthday to you. And of course, it's not just the Alpha Church. It's all churches everywhere. Now, I need a volunteer. Okay, Jack. Blow it out. Thank you. Well, you know, sometimes bad things happen in our lives, and we think that things are... Didn't I see you blow it out?
I made it spark. What the?
Come on, help, help, help blow. All of you, blow. Okay, I think that's it.
Take it out. Don't let it light on fire again.
Don't get fire.
That's what the water was for.
Yeah, fire.
Just like you can't put Jesus down and get rid of him, you can't. And the candle keeps going. Jesus is always going to be with us because God loves us all so much. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for always loving us and never leaving us alone. Amen.
The scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. There's going to be some moments of delay in the scripture reading this morning because there's about a handful of words I cannot pronounce. So I will just give you a heads up, that delay, there's more coming. This is from the New International Version, verses 1 through 21 of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the eleven, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So ends the reading.
He did very well with that, didn't he? I remember cringing the first time I had to read all that. The secret is to leave out a few of the names. As long as Dean doesn't put it on the screen, you won't know the difference. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week all be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. A violent wind, the kind of wind that breaks off telephone poles in an ice storm or destroys an Illinois town in a violent tornado, and fills men and women with awe and wonder. It may be that the writer of Acts is speaking metaphorically here. After all, in Greek, there is one word we translate either spirit or wind in English. He may have been saying that the spirit was present in a powerful way. But I like to visualize the special effects. I like to think of the wind shaking paintings on the wall, knocking the banners down. I like to think of the Apostle John's hair being blown around and Peter's trying to keep his napkin on the table. Of course, John may have been bald, and Simon Peter may have wiped his mouth on his sleeve, since we always think of him as rather crude. Nobody knows. All we know is that there was a violent wind. But there's more. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. This is no run-of-the-mill worship service. Can you imagine what would happen in here if a wind whipped through the sanctuary right now while we were together, and if tongues of fire rested on each of our heads? It sounds like a scene from a horror movie, doesn't it? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. This is exciting stuff. The disciples began to speak in other languages. Now, don't be confused. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were not speaking in unknown tongues as some do today when you need to have an interpreter to translate what they're saying. Instead, they were speaking in known languages. How do we know? Listen to the next verse. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. This is much more significant than the violent wind or the tongues of fire. Hollywood can produce special effects. But when ordinary people can transcend the dividing lines of language and race and even religion, when ordinary people can look at one another as children of the Most High without regard to how they look or how much education they have or how they talk, that's when you know that God is surely involved. It's life-changing. More importantly, it honors God. This is the church at its best, cutting across the lines that separate people from one another. This is what God intends for the church to be, a fellowship that reaches out to connect people, all people, to God. They reach outside to the outside world, and they reach inward to one another. One of the most remarkable stories in literature is the story of the love for one another that enveloped the church at Pentecost. These early believers ate together, sang together, prayed together, and looked after the widows and orphans together. A major part of the strength of their witness was how they lived out their love for one another. It's good to remind ourselves each year at Pentecost and at Memorial Day of the ties that bind the body of Christ together. All too often in churches, we treat one another with malice and end up hurting one another, sometimes even with so-called good intentions. Yes, I'm talking about the Alpha United Methodist Church. It reminds me of a strange event at the end of World War II in Asia. For a month after the war was officially ended, 1,066 American B-29s regularly flew over 150 POW camps in Asia to drop tons of food and medicine by parachute to starving men below. Unfortunately, sometimes the food packages came apart in the air, and cans of food fell with full force. The last Marine killed in Asia in World War II was killed by friendly fire by a can of Spam. That's ironic, as well as sad. Just over 10 years ago, 16 members of an Evangelical Lutheran church in Maine became violently ill after a church meeting. Tests showed they were poisoned with large doses of arsenic, which was later found in a coffee urn. Admittedly, this was a bizarre and isolated event. Still, it is not difficult for us to imagine a situation in a local church where attitudes toward one another have grown poisonous and someone is harmed by friendly fire. That is tragic. It's criminal. It's unchristian. By this, said Jesus, shall the world know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And along with love comes forgiveness. The early church reached outward to the world and inward to one another. And of course it reached upward to God. Something mysterious happened on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of the living God fell upon some ordinary men and women who did extraordinary things from that day forward. There were people not much different than us. They weren't well educated in a worldly sense, but they had studied under the greatest teacher of all. And now that his physical presence was gone, his spiritual presence led them to touch the lives of literally thousands of people. I take great hope in that fact. The church uses human efforts. Our own church could not carry out its mission without the work of many of you who give sacrificially. I want you to know how much I appreciate you and the thousands of others who have served the Lord through the Alpha United Methodist Church over those 140 years. Still, it's comforting to know that the church is ultimately not dependent on our human efforts, either lay or clergy. The church is of God. God created the church. God will sustain the church until that time when we stand as Christ's bride in the presence of the angels. That's the story of the church. We serve God by giving our labor and our gifts, and we do so gladly because we believe in God's work. But the truth is that it's not we who are holding on to God in this mission. Instead, it is God who is holding on to us. It is God who will not let Christ's church fail in her mission to deliver the good news to every child of God. And if one congregation fails in that mission, God will raise up another one that will be loyal to him. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. When a violent wind hits, all kinds of things can happen. We're told that hurricanes have torn loose vegetation, including tree branches from the island of Cuba, swirled them overhead, and randomly deposited them, battered and beaten, but alive, all over the southeastern United States. West Indian mahogany, gumbo limbo, poison wood, and cocoa plum, all native to the tropics, are now growing in the southeast of our nation. A violent wind is like that. It scatters things far and wide. You and I are 2,000 years and many thousands of miles removed from that upper room where the disciples met that first Pentecost. But this violent wind, this Spirit of the living God, has blown its way from that room into Alpha in 1875 when this church was formed. It was at work in our loved ones, now gone to their eternal reward. And it still is at work in 2015 in our lives. That is the best evidence we have that God was there and is here. Amen. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.